ओम शांति। दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर गोइंग टू लुक एट दिस कपल ऑफ वर्ड्स चक्कर एंड थक्कर व्हिच दैडी जंकी हैड मेंशन्ड अ कपल ऑफ डेज अगो एंड इट्स ऑल अबाउट प्रोटेक्टिंग वन सेल्फ फ्रॉम फॉलिंग इनटू ट्रैप्स एंड getting into spins. So have you found yourself any time falling into a trap? Then it's difficult to come out. So Maya, as you know from this morning's Murli, has every right to attack you without limit, and as strong as you are, that much strong Maya will be. So there has to be the faith that ultimately Baba plus you is stronger than Maya. But that is only provided that we follow Baba's directions. And so this is where it's easy to get off track and misunderstand, or some various different thoughts will come into the mind in which you will convince yourself that something is a certain way when really it's not, and then you do get caught in the trap. So the probably the example of trap that we see in Gyan is the spider web. And the spider web is the symbol of attachment. So if you are attached to someone, then it'll be very possible for you to get caught in that web of attachment. So how does a fly go into the spider's web? And mostly it's because of not paying attention. Because the spider's web, if you look at it from a certain angle, is really very visible. But from many angles, it's not visible. So if you don't see it, then you just fly into the trap. And so if we don't see something, that means if we don't understand something, even though we may be told many times, but if we don't get it, then we get caught in the trap, and once you're caught in the trap, then it's very difficult to come out. And so Baba has given us this a very nice expression. I don't know whether you call it very nice, but it comes very often in the Murli Miruamot Maluka Shikar, which actually means death for the mouse and lunch for the cat. Usually you get it in terms of death for the prey and a kill for the hunter, but it's actually a little story about two animals. Mirua is the mouse, the name of the mouse, and Maluka is the name of the cat. So the mouse got eaten by the cat. And so we have to see how we can avoid finding ourselves playing the role of the mouse who gets eaten by the cat, or the fly who gets captured by the spider. Now, the mouse also has another problem, and that is he's very attracted to cheese. And so what they do, they will put some cheese in a mouse trap, and the mouse will go in wanting the cheese, and then down comes the trap and the mouse is captured. So that means that one of the things that can get us into a trap is desire. So Baba has told us that we are in this life where it is called, you are dead whilst alive. So what does that really mean? Normally, in religion, it is thought that if you want to go to God, that happens after death. So you die and then you go to God. But here, Baba has come onto this earth. He has come in the very fully disguised form of Brahma Baba. And we can recognize Baba if we are fortunate, if we have that awareness of the criteria for recognizing Baba. And once you recognize Baba, and Baba says, "You are mine," and you say, "Yes, I recognize who you are, and yes, I am yours," then that means you surrender to Baba, you go to Baba, you come into Baba's lap, but you're still alive. And so what happens when you're still alive is that some part of you is with God and some part of you is still being pulled by Maya. So once we come to Baba, we come into the confluence age where there are these two energies attracting us and pulling us. One is the force of God, the attraction of truth, and the other is the force of Maya, the attraction of falsehood. And it is often said in different scriptures that at the time when God comes, there are many, many false gods and who are very often more attractive. So we have to be very careful to be able to discern. And one of the powers, one of the eight powers of yoga, is the power of discernment, also called the power of discrimination. And if we are not patient, then we can very easily be misled by something that looks real, looks like the truth, but really it's not. So the thing that helps us most of all is the study of the Murli. And study of the Murli means what? We come to class, we listen to the Murli, and then we go away again. When we listen to the Murli, we have to listen to it in soul consciousness. And sometimes you may be body conscious and sit in the Murli class. And if you're body conscious sitting in the Murli class, then it won't go in. Have you experienced that? It just won't go in. And at the end of the Murli, what did you hear? No idea. And so what does that mean is that we can only really absorb the Murli when we are properly prepared and when we are properly soul conscious, because Baba is speaking to the soul. Now, body consciousness is also synonymous for ego. So it's very subtle, this thing called ego. And ego is, on the one hand, we can say it's a mask. On the other hand, we can say it is a substitute for the self. And also, Baba tells us that when you have ego, it's ego of something. So to discern where I have ego or what I have ego of, we have to think very deeply about ourselves. And Baba will give a few examples. He will say you could have ego of intellect. Ego of intellect is expressed when we say, well, I know. I know better. I know better than God. I know better than Brahma Baba. I know better than Brahma Kumars and Kumaris. And so when we think like that, we talk like that, then it's a sign, an indication that we are in the spin of ego. It's called a spin because of the way the thinking works. Once you're in a spin of ego, then you will have the thoughts moving around and around and around, and then you will actually convince the self that, yes, I am right. And when I say, I am right, but in fact, I'm caught in the spin of ego, well, Maya will come along and deceive the soul. And how do you know that you've been deceived or trapped is later on when you try and come out. When you go into the trap, you think it's fine. But then after a while you want to come out and you find you can't, then you know that you're trapped. So that means you go into a spin of ego, you go into a trap, you can't come out, and then it creates a situation of confusion, and then you start saying to yourself, I don't know. Dadi Gulzar had given a very interesting class on this expression, I don't know. And in Hindi, the words I don't know are pata nahi. Pata nahi also means the leaf is not there. So the tree of your soul, every time you say I don't know, a leaf is falling down and you become like a dead tree with this thought of I don't know. And the words I don't know indicate doubt. So the ego, the spin, the trap, the confusion, and then doubt. And when a person is in a state of doubt, then Baba has also said that if you have doubt in the intellect, then you can very easily be destroyed. And so this is how powerful deception can be. Ego is also called the false ego. So that means you think it's right, but in fact it's not. So this is where the power of discrimination actually stops working. And instead of being the power of discrimination, it is the inability to discriminate. So what to do at such a time? Essentially, you have to go back to square one. And when ego has put you in a trap and there's nothing you can do, what happens ultimately is you have to eat humble pie. So there is some sort of humiliation that takes place once you have been fully damaged by the deception and the trap. And humiliation is a very unpleasant experience, an unpleasant emotion to feel. Have you experienced humiliation? Yes? No? No? Yes. Generally speaking, when you feel humiliation, the ego is still operating, and it will make you blame someone, and you'll say, this person has humiliated me. But if you analyze it very deeply, you find that ultimately they didn't, but because of lack of discrimination, because you thought the ego was real and not false, you actually humiliated yourself. And so that's a very unpleasant thing to accept and to admit. But if you can do that, then you gain, because then the ego is to some extent destroyed by that process of humiliation, and you examine what you did, how you fell in the trap, and you see exactly what weakness it was that enabled you to fall in the trap, and why you couldn't discriminate, and then you become experienced. So being experienced is very good, because then you won't let it happen to yourself again, because you became experienced and you understood that, yeah, I actually did allow myself to fall into this trap, and it was not for any other reason than I still had some ego to work through, and this trap was very effective in humiliating me and also in destroying that ego. So ultimately, in your analysis of yourself, you would say that, well, it was good. Good drama. Because you became experienced, because you became wiser. And anyway, after all that is over, ultimately you're still there, you're still alive, we are immortal souls, and the drama keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. And of course the aim of Raj Yoga is to become humble, egoless, viceless, bodiless, to become karmatit. So the process of reaching that involves taking down those things which are not real, but which seem to be real. Now, we are surrounded by many things which could easily be traps. Traps because of attraction. We see another brother or sister, and we see that, oh, they have something that looks nice, I should have the same thing. And as soon as we become attracted by something like this, what happens to us? We come under another influence. You've heard this expression, right? Coming under another influence. So this is because of attraction. So what Baba has told us is, mine is one Baba, no one else at all. I belong to Baba. And we make a promise in the path of bhakti that Baba reminds us of in Gyan. And the promise is, I will sit where you put me. I will eat what you give me to eat. I will do what you want me to do. And I will experience whatever it is that you want to give to me. And then when we actually live according to that promise, then there isn't attraction from anything that is not Baba. The problem is, if we become a little bit body conscious, we get an idea. One thing that we can do is we can become narcissistic. Know this expression, narcissism? Narcissus is a character from the Greek mythology who fell in love with himself. He was so wonderful, so beautiful, so marvelous. He thought, I am the greatest, you know. So sometimes we can fall in that trap. We become impressed with our own talents, our own capacity, our own wonder, our own beauty. And then we become under the influence of that, which is also false. So we have to be careful of that. And this is why Baba says to us, okay, think about your titles of self-respect, or sometimes I call these titles of self-honor. When we get attracted to what someone else has, and we start thinking about what they have, or we start getting attracted to our own talents, then we may lose the ability to really discern if I'm being narcissistic or if I'm in my self-honor. And these two can be very close to each other. So Baba gives us the balance Okay. You are a child and a master. Love and law. So, if we become impressed with ourselves, then we will not want to be a child. That means to say we will not want to accept what instruction we get given. And then we will argue. And there we can get into the spin of ego. And we will be convinced, yeah, Baba has given me a touching. Baba has given me a vision. Like this. And I am the one. You know, this is also a spin that we put ourselves in. And I think this is one of the reasons why we do different aspects of Baba's service, not alone, but with others, I see. Because what Baba wants us to be is in harmony with each other. Now, if I get impressed with myself and my idea, and if other people don't like it, then I'll go off on my own and pursue that idea. And then I will be, you know, diverted from the process of harmonizing with the different beads of the rosary. And there it becomes very easy for me to fall into a trap. Because we can do something in the pursuit of my idea. This is something that comes very, very often in Gyan. You hear this a lot. And since many, many years, it's a very favorite trap of Maya, my idea. So what Baba says is, you have the ego of your idea, and you're convinced. And you say, the others, they should accept my idea. But they don't. And so then, what do? Well, you become unhappy because they didn't realize how clever you are. They didn't accept your idea at that time. And so you get wounded by this feeling of rejection. And that also is part of the trap, which will put you in a kind of isolated space mentally. So what Baba has said to us quite often about something like this is, it may be a very good idea, but Baba's purpose is not really to validate our good ideas. Baba's purpose is, I think, to enable us to become humble, to become in harmony with each other, and to actually go with Baba's ideas. Now, that idea may be a good idea, but it's rejected. So then what Baba has said is, you know, it's a really good idea, but it's not the right time. So bring that idea up again, and maybe it is the right time. But the lesson, I think, that Baba wants to give us is, you cannot take possession of it, that this is my idea, and I will do it this way. We have to really surrender it. And so sometimes it takes quite a while before that thing which you are convinced of becomes a practical reality. And I think also Baba will not allow it to become a practical reality until we become really detached from it. So detachment means that we have no, we don't feel any emotion about that idea. If it's used good, if it's not used good, we become completely in equilibrium about it. That means we have let go. That means it has really been surrendered to Baba, and then only Baba can use it. So this is why I think we also have to have a lot of patience. Because in order for us to become really free from deception, from self-sabotage, from self-betrayal, and all of these different aspects of ego, it really takes quite a long time. And then we have to go again and again to what really is Raj Yoga? What are we really doing here? Why are we in this, you know? And so we think about, okay, we have the four subjects, Gyan, Yoga, Dharana, and Service. And nowadays, what is Baba telling us? More and more, he's telling us that at the end, which maybe here we are at the end, service through the mind. And many people are thinking, okay, we don't really know what is service through the mind. Do you know what is service through the mind? It's quite mysterious, quite subtle. How do we use thought? What is the power of thought? What is the power of silence? You know. We have to practice being deeply silent. If we are reacting or if we are attracted, then we're not silent. So silence is a very deep thing that, you know, you can say the word silence or stillness or peace. And that becomes just words. But then to go deep and to experience, okay, what exactly is this thing which goes by the name of the power of silence? And what does this power do? And how do we use it? So power of silence, I think, is when we have made ourselves completely free from all forms of anxiety and desire and trying to force things or reacting to something. So we have to be very, very aware of the knowledge of drama. So the knowledge of drama is also very deep and also, I think, quite difficult to grasp, but because it's really very subtle. And many people are churning the ideas and the thoughts about drama. And drama is that everything is good. Whatever happens in drama is good. So that means you let go. When we hold on to something, then it means we've forgotten the knowledge of drama. We try to push something through. Now, if you know the knowledge of drama, that whether your idea is accepted or rejected or whatever, you will say, okay, it's not my idea, it's an idea. Because an idea, you could say, if an idea comes to you, it's a gift from God, a thought, an inspiration, a gift from God. But if we say it's mine, then we contaminate it. So we say an idea. We hold an idea with the power of silence to give it substance, to make it real, to make it become a practical reality, a practical form. But we cannot say it's mine and we cannot push it this way or that way or the other way. Just hold it. Like a kind of good wish. Many times, and you've seen this just recently with Dadi Janki, how she uses good wishes. Good wishes means that you never give up on a person. Always have the thought that all my brothers and sisters, and particularly if there's anyone who is experiencing some difficulty either with health or with the mind or their relationships or their situation or whatever, good wishes that they will become free, that they will be happy, that they will be at peace, that they will come out of the trap or the bondage or whatever it is that is the difficulty that they are passing through. Because the difficulty someone's passing through is not their identity. It's just something they're passing through. So good wishes, purity, being free from these traps and so on, is to be able to discern that a person is pure, peaceful, powerful, loveful, blissful, being of light. And really see that person independently of their role, you know. And I think we also have to see ourselves independently of our role. Have you ever experienced that you were identifying with a role and then that role was taken away from you? Have you experienced something like this? Anyone? No? Yes. So what happens when your role is taken away from you is it gives you a feeling inside, and that feeling is that it's like a negative feeling. My identity has been taken away. Yeah? And when you feel your identity has been taken away, there's a mixture of emotions. There's some sadness, there's some anger, some resentment, some confusion, a combination of negative emotions. And then you have to sit with that and analyze that and see, okay, now, what's the problem here? Is that I was given this role and I adopted it as my identity, and that was a mistake. That was body consciousness. That was me going into a trap. And then when it was taken away, then the negative feelings come along to let us know that, hey soul, you walked into a trap. You forgot the knowledge that you are not your role. And because what is a role? It's something that you play for some time, and then afterwards it goes away. And that's, roles are always like that. Our body consciousness is that we say, I am such and such, whatever the role is. And even we use the word, oh, this is my role. But when we say this is my role, there is a feeling behind those words that this is my role. And we start to be attached to it. We become enmeshed with it. And then when it's taken away, we feel these negative things. But the correct way to pass the test, because it is an exam, is to be absolutely neutral. You have the role, you play the role, and whenever it's no longer there, whenever it's taken away, it makes no waves, makes no disturbances inside yourself. And then you will know that you were not role conscious, because we have to be soul conscious, not role conscious. So identifying with the role is very much of a spin and a trap. All of us do not know the date of our death. Is that right? You know the date of your death? Could be any time, through any means. And Baba has told us we need to be ever ready. And so the ego is the thing that we're all the time working on, And when any of these things happen, something we're attached to gets taken away, or someone we're attached to turns against us, or whatever, that's a kind of ego death. And before we physically leave the body, we have to die many times. And so this expression, living the Brahman life where you are dead whilst alive, also involves a number of deaths. Have you experienced you have to die lots of times? Yeah? And then maybe you wonder, well, how many times do you have to die until you actually leave your body? And then are you going to go with the sanskaras of dying or the sanskaras of victory? Because Baba has said we have to become victorious over sin and death, victorious over Maya and matter. And so Maya, as I mentioned earlier, has many, many ways to trap us, to pull us into a spin, and eventually bring us into doubt, which eventually brings us into destruction. So instead of that, we want to make ourselves oriented for victory. And victory means victory many, many times. Our Brahman life is a long life. It's often called, Dadi Jenki uses this expression quite a bit, Jivan Yatra, the pilgrimage of our life. So a pilgrimage means that at every step along the way, the focus of the destination is God. And also the home, the soul world, the world of liberation. So each and every step is headed that way, and each and every step Maya wants to deviate us one side or another side. So we can, instead of being on a pilgrimage, we forget that we're on a pilgrimage, and we think, life is about receiving something. Receiving something from our karma, But there's an expression which says that you should, this is a Sindhi expression, and so very often used in the yajna, especially the early days of the yajna, do the good action and throw it in the ocean. And in fact, it's one of the teachings of the Gita that when you do good action, you have to be very careful that you're not attempting to receive the fruit of that action or the reward of that action. And the thing which brings us to victory is called faith, which is, of course, the opposite of doubt. So, we keep on doing good karma. Every time we get attached to what we've done, and we say, this is my good action, again we've fallen into a trap. When we say, this is my good action, what goes with that is, I want to be appreciated. Have you experienced that? You do something, it's good, you're impressed, but then you're not appreciated. You're not, given a pat on the back, and you say, well, at least I should be, congratulated or appreciated. What's going on? Have you experienced that at all? And this is also another trap. And so the real spiritual knowledge says, do the good action, do the pure karma, don't be showy with it. Try not to have your name on it. Like the song of Brother Ken, you can't write your name on the sun. It's really all about this. Sometimes it happens that you do something, someone else gets the credit. How do you feel about that? You feel resentment, you feel, hey, no, this was my idea, my thing. I did all the basic work, and somebody else got the credit. This is also a test because it proves to the self that I was attached. So the whole key of the knowledge of the Gita is I should not be attached. And then this final expression at the end of the Gita, Nashto Moha Smriti Labta, I have understood, and so I am detached. So this long, long journey that we have with Baba, constantly under the gun from Maya, is really to reach to that destination where we say, I got it, I understood, let go, I am detached. And then there we would have found our way out of the traps and out of the spins. So in order for us to reach that stage, it is necessary for us to fail many times. And sometimes Baba says, well, when you fail, you get disheartened. Is that right? You lose hope in the self and you think, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it. Have you experienced something like this? Yeah. So this is another very good system of Maya. Because Maya has to find any and every possible way to get you to not do this. Because if you do this and you get through all the tests and all the difficulties and so on and so forth, the prize at the end of it is a very, very big prize. So when we come to Baba, Baba says, okay, you won a lottery. You recognized Baba. You came in Gyan. And now you have to go along the path, which, as the song says, you have to be careful because it's easy to fall. And you fall into these traps and spins and ego problems and so on. Now, the thing with winning a lottery is you have to be able to hold on to that lottery, hold on to that fortune, because in the Lokic world, if anyone wins a lottery, there's tons of people who immediately surround them to try and take that money from them. Or sometimes people just lose it all very, very easily. So Baba says, okay, you won a lottery. Now you have to follow his directions. And his directions are all about letting go, being with Baba at every step. So we have to practice the combined form. And I think also very much connected with that is a practice of dispossessing the self. I don't know if you've ever tried this, to dispossess yourself of everything. Your talents, your sanskaras, your time, your importance, your specialities, you know, because the yajna is an instrument in which you surrender each and everything that you could say the word mine for. Because we have to substitute all those things that we say mine for, and just have Baba is mine. So it's really a lot of work of dispossessing. So then if you have to say, okay, then Baba is mine, what does that really mean? I belong to Baba, Baba belongs to me. One of the traps that happens is we take support from certain things as a kind of secondary insurance. This is also a trap. And Baba says it's similar to standing on a roof made of grass. You're going to fall right through. So we may take support from someone, and take support from a position, take support from a role, take support from an opportunity. There's many, many different things that we start leaning on. And as soon as we lean on something then we're not actually truthful in saying, I belong to Baba, Baba belongs to me. So there again, we looking at the contrast between the doubt, which takes us into destruction, and the faith, which takes us into victory. So at every step, we have to see, am I taking support from Baba? You know, so the faith in Baba, the faith in self, the faith in Baba, faith in Dharma, faith in the family, these are the four faiths that Baba has given us. But faith in Baba will take us to victory. Faith in Baba means I will make Baba my support. I will let go of all the other forms of support. And when you do that, you will find that there's quite a lot of resistance, because you do rely on all sorts of things and people, and it comes up, you come up with this idea, well, what will happen to me when I get old? Is there somebody who will look after me? And so you try and look around and see if you can create some support systems in case, you see. And then Baba will say, well, these are signs of doubt. We have to have very good faith in Baba, faith in Baba Srimat, and also faith that when you do pure karma, then you don't have to look for the results, but you definitely have to know that every seed that you plant produces a good fruit. But you are not going to say, well, I need guarantees. Huh? People look for guarantees. But if you say, no, my knowledge of the laws of karma is enough. Continue to make sure that each and every day, as far as possible, you are doing pure karma constantly through your entire Brahman life, and have faith that this will carry you forward. Because when you try to find some other thing to be a substitute and look for something else as your support, then that thing will fail you. And that is also a form of deception, a trap. And then what happens when the results are out, then you will regret that, oh, I didn't have faith in Baba, I didn't have faith in the knowledge I lost. But by that time, it then becomes too late. So I think that it's very useful to do some sort of inventory of oneself. You know, we have a little bit of time before going back to our different countries, and now that Diwali and New Year and all of that celebration is over, and we're back to the normal day-to-day routine, you find, okay, maybe I have a little bit of time. And in the time that you have, to do an inventory of your faith level is quite an interesting exercise to do. And that means, see, if you go into silence, and just try to write down on a piece of paper, you know, where am I taking support, outside support from Baba? You know, and where am I having alternative ideas along with the thoughts that Baba is giving me? You know, because if you have jnana and ajnana together, then that will also deceive you. So ask yourself, to what extent do I really accept and understand what this knowledge is? Especially think deeply about What is the power of silence? What is the knowledge of drama? And what is the power of purity? Now, these are very, very subtle things. They're very, very powerful. So see to what extent you've understood these, and also try to see if you have questions in any of these areas. And if you're not quite sure about something, what do you do to get clarification on those things, right? Because you don't want to be in a situation where you're just kind of going along hoping, right? Do you do that? Yes? So that's not very solid, not very stable. So I think we want to have a really stable, solid foundation in order to be able to really move forward. Because I think that many people are feeling that things are changing. Are you feeling that? The cycle is reaching a new phase. The confluence age is reaching a phase. Now Baba is telling us, now you have to serve through the mind. Now you have done a lot of service through words, you've done a lot of service, physical service, but now it's time to serve through the mind. So that means it's much more subtle than it ever was. And that means all the different aspects of ourselves, our thoughts, our words, our feelings, our emotions, our intentions, all of these have to be really aligned in a very good way, so that there is no part of us which is deviating, and then that each part of us is really lined up, and then we can move forward with a great deal of power. In the rest of the world, corruption is increasing. People want to look good. You know, ask yourself, are you corrupted by anything? Are you pulled by any desires? Are you attracted by any temptations? Are you limited by any fears? Or are you really strong in Baba's protection, in Baba's remembrance, and that you have that clarity that you would really be able to see any traps that come to pull you away along the way? So I was thinking that maybe I would stop here, and you may have some questions. Do you have any questions? Any things you would like to take up? Yeah? Anyone? Should I ask for the microphone to come down and you can give your thoughts, your questions? Does anyone have that? No one? Is your Madhuban time? You have one? Okay, can we have a microphone? And you come up and put your comment or your question. Om Shanti. So we have a half an hour, which is quite a lot of time. And if you just introduce your name and your country.
I'm Narada from Sri Lanka. Normally people, while talking, they say that the words are coming from the bottom of the cards. When they say evil, intellect and mind working, why say they that words are coming bottom of the cart?
Bottom of what?
Heart.
The cart?
Heart. Why?
The bottom of the heart.
Yeah. Why they say?
Well, your words come from many places. And if your words are really sincere, then they come from your heart, don't they? So we have the intellect, which contains knowledge. Our mind is influenced by what we experience through our sense perceptions, and mind is also influenced by our sanskaras. And the sanskaras are really coming from the subconscious. We are not really aware, conscious of the things that are very deep down in the subconscious, but the mind is connected with that. So these are the two sources of thought that come in. And what Baba wants us to do is to make sure that the intellect is filled with knowledge, so that we can, again, I would come to this power of discernment. We could discern if something's coming up from the subconscious, is coming from a doubt, or coming from a preconception, or a prejudice, or some aspect of ignorance that we're still holding on to. We need to be able to discern it, and then see which aspect of the knowledge will take that away, because those are signs of ignorance. And so that's really our success, if we are able to discern and then judge and choose which aspect of the knowledge should really be coming out of our mouths. Otherwise, if our mouths are totally under the influence of our minds and our sanskaras, then the intellect is still too weak. And so Raja Yoga is sometimes called Yoga of the Intellect. And you hear also Baba saying, Buddhi Yoga, the Yoga of the Intellect. So what is really that, the Yoga of the Intellect? So I think So does anybody have any question or any comment that is connected with this subject of traps? As many of you were saying yes, you've experienced that. Please. The microphone is just kind of by the white flowers. Yeah, that's it. Can you introduce your name?
Sure. Vandana from Columbus, Ohio, USA. You were talking about faith in the four aspects, you know, faith in Baba, faith in the self, and drama and family. Sometimes, even though you have faith, you kind of feel it's not 100% there. And I was just wondering if you could go a little bit deeper about how do we know that, we experience that through our classes when you know, we're listening to. But how does one increase that and be sure that this mixture that I'm feeling
mm-hmm.
is, you know, not there consistently?
Yes.
And
you
don't keep changing.
So I think what you're saying is we know it intellectually, but it's shallow. And what we need to do is bring it all the way to the very depths. Knowledge, anyway, we hear it with the intellect, and we have to inculcate it. We have to let it go deep, 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 deep. And what we find is we can accept something intellectually, and we say, yes, we hear what Baba says. He is saying that, we should have faith in the self. I do have faith in the self. Or we should have faith in Baba. We do have faith in Baba. You say you do, but when it gets tested, then do you pass or do you fail? This is why I think, in a way, we could say that all tests are tests of faith. And here, we don't have blind faith. We have to have faith based in a very deep kind of wisdom. So really knowing what a soul is, because you can't have faith, blind faith in the self. You have to have faith in the self really knowing what a soul is. So I think that our knowledge may initially be quite superficial. And then this is why we are in Gyan for our whole life, because it has to go deep and deep and deep until it becomes real. And the only way that we know if it's real is when we have passed all the tests. And the tests come every day, all sorts of tests. And they will test the four levels of faith. And you fail the tests, and then that means you have to come to terms with, you have to face the fact that you don't really have faith. And so then you have to kind of go back to the drawing board of what is faith and think, you know, as deeply as you can. Raj Yoga, I think, is very much about going deep. And this is why churning the Murli is, I think, the very, very best way. Many people say they don't know how to churn. Yeah? How many of you would say you don't really know how to churn? Anybody? One, two, three, a few. But, you know, how do you become good at churning? Sometimes I say to people, you need to study the Murli, the same Murli, several times. Read it several times. Because the Murli is the ocean. And when you read it one time, you're just on the surface of the ocean. You know, earlier when I was mentioning this, many of you accepted that if you're listening to the Murli in a body conscious state, you won't remember it at the end of it. Yeah? So the Murli itself actually makes you soul conscious. But then you have to read it several times to penetrate and get down to the depths of the Murli. And this is a lot of mental work. And our minds, our intellects are quite lazy. Many people, they just, you know, operate in a limited way, and you just carry on in that particular way, and you never really evolve as a person, as a mind. Your wisdom doesn't really go further. And so the key, I think, to increasing that is really, so like you have to work the muscle of the intellect. And Dadi Jenki had told us that when she came to to Baba, she came 6 months after the others because she had some bondages which prevented it. And so she asked Baba, what can I do to catch up with everyone else? And you remember in the Murli today, when we were hearing the words of Mama, she was also saying that if you came halfway, you wouldn't be able to understand it so well because you weren't there for what happened in the early part. So that's quite deep. Now, how can you catch up? Baba told her, read the Murli 12 times. I don't know if you've ever tried to do that. Have you? Has anybody tried to do that? Read the Murli of one day 12 times. It's really very hard work because you read it one time, no problem. Read it a second time, it's okay. Once you start reading it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, you begin to encounter resistance. So you have to resist that resistance. And when you read it several times, it kind of opens it up and allows you to go to the depth of it. Because the Murli in some ways is kind of in code. And you have to penetrate it and get to what is he really saying. And so your mind, to read the Murli many times, has to have this power of concentration. And then you start to extract what he's really saying. And there you encounter this resistance that is a kind of, what shall I say, a sort of a white noise that fills your mind that you don't even realize is there until you start pushing against it. So I think that if you really want to progress, you know, and really push forward, I think this is really the key. Any other thing comes from a human source, but the Murli is the most tangible thing that we have from Baba. Otherwise, she, Baba, is incorporeal. You know, Brahma, Baba, Avyakt. And we want to get the goods, so we have to have it. And it's not material. It's thought. It's ideas. It's ideas that come from the mind of God, which cause our mind, our soul, our intellect, everything about us to become more and more like Baba and less materialistic. You see, because for us to come out of materialism, we have to realize that, you know, how deeply we are into it. One of the things I've been discovering is that a lot of people think that spirituality and morality is the same thing. Do you think that? Many people do. Spiritual values, moral values, it's all one and the same thing. But in fact, if you analyze it, we say the spiritual knowledge comes directly from Baba. Morality comes from humanity. And humanity at this time is in a tamopradan stage. And so very often when we are, when we have absorbed ideas of morality and we mix it up with spirituality, it's still a mixture. And so as we go into the depth of spirituality, we begin to see those two things, morality and spirituality, actually separating. And so, you know, just as in the Murli today, Baba said that, you know, the pure spirituality, that is the butter, and the rest is chas, you know, the buttermilk. And I think that morality is all part of that buttermilk. And buttermilk is okay, but it's not like butter, you know. So I think that this churning, this really working with the knowledge that Baba gives us is the key for us to actually claim that inheritance that he is offering to us. And it's really very subtle, and in a way, it's secret. And this is why sometimes we find ourselves saying, you know, I really don't know what Raja Yoga is. Do you feel, you find that? Yeah, because it is so subtle. And we're, the world is imposing its ideas on us at every step, but we have to keep going and go further and further into the subtleties of where Baba is taking us. I think we still have a little bit of time if anybody else wants to bring up something. Anyone? Yeah, nobody? You have something? It's okay if it's in another language. Yeah? We can have. Yes, please.
Om Shanti, I'm Gridharan from Sri Lanka. Actually, you said about the trap Maya, is under the philosophy of karma or under drama? I want clarification of that.
You have to
trapping
repeat.
Maya, it says, we are saying, you know, it's karma, this Maya of karma has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we say drama. So I want clarification.
What's the difference between Maya, drama?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, that's good. So whenever something happens, and as soon as that thing has gone into the past, well, we always say, well, that was drama, right? Yeah? And when something's happening in the present, it's influencing you one way or the other way. You have to use your power of discrimination and try to find out, you know, what is going on here? Am I being pulled by Maya? We, you know, we have to really check, what is really soul conscious? Am I soul conscious? So Baba will ask us, are you being soul conscious? Are you practicing the combined stage with Baba? You know, sometimes another thing that comes into the equation is karmic accounts, you know. There was one very interesting conversation that happened between one sister and Dadi, and she was telling me about it. She was in a car accident and had a broken bone. So she asked Dadi, what is this? Is this karma? Is this, was I not paying attention? What is really going on here? Dadi gave a very interesting answer. She told her, well, you recovered from this accident very quickly and with very little difficulty. So that says that it wasn't a karmic account. So if it's a karmic account, there'll be difficulties, there'll be suffering, things will take a longer time. And as a result of it, she decided that it would be worthwhile to stay longer time in Madhuban to get the physiotherapy to bring the bones back into order. And so Dadi said, well, you can understand that this incident existed in the drama so that you could spend more time in Madhuban, because now you need to be able to experience the bodiless stage. And Baba created this situation because he wants you to spend time practicing the bodiless stage, because this is what is needed for you at this time. So that's a very interesting answer, don't you think? And I think that it helps us to identify the criteria when we're analyzing things, because things happen to us and then we think about them. You know, what is this? Why is this? How do I understand this situation? So in that way, Dadi is giving criteria that you can then note in your record of how to process the knowledge, that if you come out of it very easily, then it means it's not a karmic account. If you have difficulty with it, that means it is a karmic account. I see. So otherwise, Sometimes you just don't know how to calculate, how to evaluate, how to make a judgment, what it is. And then also, what Dadi is telling us is that whatever happens, there is some deep significance behind it. And if we can grasp what that deep significance is, then we can take full advantage of the circumstance, which maybe sometimes looks like a difficult thing, a bad thing, but it may not really be. It's just that our ability to discern what this really is needs to be very refined, and then we can take full advantage from it. So that's very interesting. Because for myself, I never think that anything is a karmic account. Because if you think it's a karmic account, it's punishment, it's I'm not okay, I deserve this thing, you know. But I tend to think of it as a test, you know, a test to, that means you need to have greater faith in one or another area, or you have to have greater skill in the use of any of the eight powers or any of the other powers that's beyond the list of the eight. But I think also this other ingredient that Dadi gave is very deep, that there may be some part of your spiritual practice that needs a little boost. And practice of the bodiless stage is in and of itself very subtle. So then it means, okay, how do I really take advantage of the time in Madhuban? Because in Madhuban, there are many possibilities. You can waste your time, you can enjoy, or you can really do tapasya. And tapasya is the word that applies to a very subtle and deep kind of spiritual effort. Because I think all the signs around us are telling us that, okay, you know, time is now. The world is pretty much in destruction, seems to me that way anyway. We are very protected, being in the cocoon of Baba's Yajna. But also, we have to think, okay, what in these last few moments of the drama, because time goes by very, very quickly, what is really being offered to me as an opportunity to upgrade my spirituality, my level of spiritual practice? What's the hidden message behind appearances? And then I think we'll be able to take really full advantage. You know, because when you go back to the world, you have to deal with the very increased speed of time. That's the speed at which things happen. And more and more instability, more and more upheaval. And so we have to be very still, very stable, very connected with Baba, and really understand that it's the thought, the level of thought is what we have to operate on now. So we have to prepare ourselves for that in these few days that we have still here in Madhuban. So we have possibility of one more before we have to stop. Does anybody have one more thing? Yeah? You've already spoken, but there's another person who hasn't spoken. Yeah, you wanted to come? No? Okay, then please. No, if you haven't spoken, you come. Come. Yeah, please. Take the mic, please. It's just here.
Te lo digo en español. Okay. Oye, bueno, yo me había acercado a ti porque quería que el drama me resolviera o me respondiera a alguna inquietud que tenía, pero he tenido la oportunidad estos días de hablar con Baba y pues las Murlis me ha dado y me ha aclarado qué es lo que tengo que hacer. Y en la clase de hoy, the class today, for you give me more the resolve my answers, and thank you, Denise, and thank you, drama. I love the drama, I love Baba, I love the world, I love my family. Entonces, thank you.
Yeah, Baba really helps us. He really helps us. I think it's very nice if we can count our blessings, experience what Baba has given to us, because otherwise Maya makes us see what we haven't got, or what's wrong, or what we don't like, or something like this, you know, and that takes us off into the direction of negativity. But collecting the points of what we have received, what we have gained, how Baba has really helped us and moved us forward, that keeps us in a very positive frame of mind. And if our mind goes into negativity, then we really can't do service of the mind. So we need to keep the mind clean, pure, and use the knowledge of drama, the knowledge of karma, all the different things that Baba has told us to keep ourselves really free from the trap of negativity. Okay, so let us have a few moments of Baba's remembrance. Om Shanti.